So, hi, I'm Nikki, compulsive overeater. Hello, everybody. First of all, welcome to anyone who is new or anyone celebrating any kind of OA birthday or anniversary. And I'm really glad that you're all here. I guess I'm going to do the format of, I like to listen to the LA podcast a lot. So they talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I'm going to go by that same format because I think that's the easiest way to do my share. So I think the first time that I remember having an issue with food was around 13. My parents got divorced, shortly after my bat mitzvah. And, I was in shock cause I thought they were perfectly happy. So I was pretty clueless. And, I started to switch houses. And when I would go to my dad's house, he wasn't really paying a lot of attention to us. And there was just tons of junk food and video games. And I started to feel very like disconnected and lonely and kind of use that, all of that food to self-soothe. And the following year when I turned 14, I started high school and there was just mostly pressure I put on myself, but there was a lot of like social pressure, and different things going on. I also found out more about my parents' divorce. Like I didn't know at that point when I was 13 that my dad was an alcoholic. And by the time I was 14, I learned that. And then also that my mom had had an affair, which was also with another woman. And it was like a big deal in my town. Like everyone knew about it except me. And I found out about it by overhearing friends of mine talk about it. So just all these things kind of happened at a impressionable age. And I started restricting then, my freshman year of high school. And I felt like it was the only thing I could control. Like everything else in my life felt kind of like it was spinning out of control. And all I could do was like get perfect grades and just control what I ate. And I think part of me just wanted to kind of like disappear, and get smaller because there was so much going on and there was so much pressure. And I think I was embarrassed about all the stuff going on with my family. I didn't feel like I had anyone to talk to or trust. And so was controlling food in that way. And then my parents brought me to someone to talk to. And I was very averse to therapy at that point. And she just told me I had to start eating. And somehow I did. And things seemed to calm down with food for a while, until when I was in college, I got really, really close with my mom. We had initially been fighting a lot when I was a teenager, and we got very, very close. And then when I was in college, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And, I think part of my issue or one thing that's a struggle for me is that feeling of being terminally unique. I just felt like nobody else, none of my friends were going through what I was going through. Like people's parents were together. They weren't having the same pressures as me. Like they didn't have a brother. I also had a brother who is autistic and has self-harmed a lot and was violent. So there's just a lot going on in my family. And once my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer, I kind of tried to control everything about her recovery. I spent a lot of time, taking care of her. She wasn't married at that point. So I was kind of her primary caretaker. And I kind of devoted myself to like asking the doctor a million questions, being involved with everything. Cause I think I felt like I could control the outcome of if I just did everything right. And while she was going through her cancer treatment, I was soothing myself with food because it was really the only thing that I felt that I could turn to. I don't know if I realized that at the time, but there was so much stress and anxiety that I was feeling, and I was always waiting for bad news or another phone call about results or blood work, and food was the only thing that gave me like a temporary relief from that. And I definitely had all of these things are to say that I just had a really big victim mentality. I thought that like the world was unfair to me and no one else felt like I did or was going through what I did. No one could understand. So like I pushed most of my friends away, and really spent all my time with my mom mostly. You know, we had a lot of great times together. And I was also the oldest of four kids. So I think that's part of the reason I was like her main caretaker. And also the dynamic in my family, my parents, even though they were divorced, you know, worked closely together, and they would often ask me for advice about like what to do with my brothers who were 7 years younger than me and kind of always getting into trouble and things going on with them. So I became kind of like a third parent in a way. And then my mom passed away in 2012, and I didn't think I was going to survive that. Cause we were so kind of enmeshed, and, I thought I would just, I don't know what I thought would happen. I like thought I would just literally disappear when she, you know, wasn't there anymore. And, my eating disorder, the binge eating, like really took off, you know, while she was sick. And then also after she passed away. So, that's kind of where I think a lot of the food stuff comes from. Not that it matters, but it was a tool that helped me for a long time to get through a lot of really painful things. And let's see if I'm missing anything. So then I did what we call a geographic, and I left New York City. I was living there for 9 years after college, and I just knew I was like really depressed and I had to try something else. So I picked up by myself and I moved to Colorado without a job or anyone I knew here. And I did get a job. But I was, you know, I was still with myself, right? Nothing had changed. I still had all the same insecurities and anxieties and, the depression that I was going through after losing my mom. And I was just in a really bad place. And what I would go to work and teach, and then I would come home. And I didn't have like a lot of time to eat lunch and treat myself and take care of myself while I was at work. And I would just come home and eat until I fell asleep. And that it got to a really bad point where I felt like I just, you know, could barely get off the couch. And I was really, really unhappy. And I had, when I was in New York, I had seen doctors, I had tried diets, I had successfully dieted, but overall, like, you know, my weight just kept going up. There was even a time where I did a weight loss competition with friends as like a healthy, like fun thing. And ended up winning that competition. But, you know, none of those things were permanent relief from the struggles that I was going through. Like the obsession was still always there, no matter what happened with my weight. So I asked my family for some help, my dad, and I ended up going to an eating disorder facility. But the important part about that is that that's where I heard about OA. And every single night there, it was a place that had women dealing with alcoholism, you know, mental health disorders, all kinds of things. So every night we had one of the A's. So we had OA or AA or NA, and I just went every single night while I was there. And I started to hear some of the phrases and some of the terminology. And by the time I got home a couple years ago, it was in 2017, and I got home, I think, the very end of April. And I started going to OA regularly. So it's been almost 3 years now that I've been coming to OA every week, if not multiple times a week. And so once I found OA, I realized that I was not terminally unique. Like I wasn't the only person who had had these feelings, who had had the struggles with food, who had felt alone, hadn't known how to deal with their family, felt like they couldn't connect with people, all kinds of things. And that brought me a lot of comfort that other people had struggles and I wasn't the only one. And I realized OA kind of taught me, and my sponsor taught me, that I could have a purpose in life. I could be useful by being of service to people. And it wasn't all about me. Like I'd spent a lot of my life really selfish, just thinking like, this happened to me and this happened to me. And in OA, I just really realized like, it's all about your perspective on how you look at the world. And even though I had had some difficult times, so has everybody, that's part of life. And I could find a lot of joy by connecting with others and by being of service. So one thing that was hard for me initially was believing in any kind of higher power. I definitely didn't, because I was very angry at God or any kind of higher power and thought that I had been punished and, you know, dealt a bad hand. And I really enjoyed the fact that you can create whatever your own higher power is. And I don't really know exactly what my higher power is necessarily, but for me, it's kind of a feeling and like a warmth and almost like a hug of something. I know that there's so many things out there that are greater than me, because I spent so much of my life trying to control everything and make people act the way I wanted and control my mom's sickness and all kinds of things, control my brother. I realized that I'm not in control of so much. And, you know, just the way that nature is in control and the waves always keep crashing in the ocean and I can't stop them, there's things out there that are more powerful than me. And that gave me a huge relief, because I finally realized there's so much I don't have to take care of. Like, I felt like I was carrying everything on my shoulders, and I finally could let a lot of that go and just focus on the things that I could control, like my behavior, and my relationships and my responses to things and the way that I acted and viewed the world. So that was really amazing. And I finally started to feel like the world wasn't out to get me, that I could find joy in things. Even I started with really, really small things. Like, I would write my tools every day that I used and send them to my sponsor. And my first sponsor had asked me to use 7 out of the 9 tools each day. So I would do little things on my action plan, and I would list all of them. And I still do, in terms of like, I went to the grocery store, you know, I bathed my dog, I did this, I did that, all things that kind of help what I view as my recovery in terms of, you know, being a healthy person who can be of service to others. So found OA and I got a sponsor, and I did everything she said, which wasn't really a problem for me because I love to follow rules, and instructions, even though I was resistant to, like, you know, having a phone call every day. That sounded nuts to me, before I started doing it. And even though it was just a quick check-in, I couldn't imagine like having to speak to someone every day, because I'd become pretty isolated. And having to wake up for a Saturday 9 a.m. meeting, I was like, oh, I'll never, you know, go to that one. I'll find something else. But, you know, lo and behold, I ended up often going to the Saturday 9 a.m. meeting. And just kind of everything about me started to change slowly with like little steps. Each day that I turned over my food and did all the tools and sent those to her, and I did the step work, I started to feel better about myself, in terms of, I realized I could try to help other people. Like, even if there was someone newer than me, I could call a newcomer, and that was being of service, or just showing up to a meeting, and doing all those little things and following through on them kind of gave me more self-confidence to be like, yeah, I'm actually going to do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to work hard on my recovery. And let's see what else. Oh, I also learned in OA, like, I can ask people for help. I hated to burden people before. I would barely ever even ask my family for help. And I only did so that time, you know, to go to the eating disorder place, because I was so desperate, but I hated bothering people. And now I feel like I can ask people for help because I have something to offer too. I'm not completely helpless and have nothing to give. And so, you know, I feel like I could ask someone for help with something, because I could easily do something as well. And also knowing that they would be doing service, especially, you know, someone in this program, and that would give them an opportunity to help me. And it wouldn't make them mad and hate me forever. It would make them, you know, happy to be able to help a fellow. So everything just really started to feel different. And let's see what else. Yeah, so that was me finding OA. And I think one of the big things that was big for me in OA was starting service pretty early. I started attending intergroup the I was abstinent in August of 2017, and I started the next month attending intergroup, and I've been going ever since. And even though, you know, I'm not always running the meetings or doing a million things, part of it is just showing up and being a part of something that is keeping OA going. And just being a sponsor, like my sponsees have helped me get through recovery immensely, because when I'm having a hard time, I still have to focus and, you know, have our calls and go over our step work. And that really helps bring me back on track. So being a sponsor has been really, really valuable in OA. And OA also gives me a lot of structure, because just like when I first started, although I've changed a couple of things, I send my food the night before to my sponsor. So I commit that. I send the tools that I've used. And I also do my 10th step now, where I go through the day and, you know, write any resentments and see what I was proud of and all that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, I went to the birthday party this year, which I think I never would have considered before. I never would have imagined that I would be flying to LA and dancing with fellows that, you know, a few years ago I didn't really know at all. And then I was, I've just been in a lot of situations that I never would have expected. But like they say, you know, in OA, once the promises come true, you know, situations that you could have never dreamed of before happen. And I have found so much joy in the fellowship. I feel comfortable calling people and, you know, saying hello and checking on them. And even though I was resistant at first, the outreach calls have been incredible, because people call you back when you need to hear from somebody. And I think right now it's a particularly hard time dealing with the COVID-19 and all of that. And it's definitely been hard for me as well. And at first I was struggling more in terms of just that it felt like I had dealt with a lot of difficult things in my life, but nothing had happened like this, because this has never happened before. And then I realized that it's just something else that I have to treat like, to treat with program, basically. Like I just have to do everything I normally do. You know, reach out to other people, keep my food plan, stay abstinent is always number one, no matter what, so that I can focus on my recovery. And if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm of no use to anybody else. At first, when I was in program and I was getting a puppy, my sponsor was saying to me that she was reminding me that program had to come first before anything else. And I was like, well, not before my dog. Like, I, you know, I'm a dog mom first, and that has to be the most important thing, you know, put my dog before anything else. And she said, no, because if you put program first, you know, then you'll be a better dog mother. But if you think about it, if you're not taking care of yourself, you know, then you won't be able to take care of Mason as well. And that really made a lot of sense to me. So I just have to always remember to put program before anything else, because that's what really takes care of me. And it has really changed everything in my life. Like my whole outlook, I feel like I'm saying the promises now. My whole outlook has really changed. Whereas before I focused on a lot of the negative and felt sorry for myself a lot, now I realize how blessed I am. And I, since I started program, I have an amazing job that somehow came to me, and I realized that I might really like working in libraries, and I love it. And I have a wonderful dog, and my sister has moved out to Denver, so now I have family here. And you know, there's been a lot of hard times too. My dad just finished cancer treatment, so he's super vulnerable right now in terms of getting sick. But I am treating it so differently than I had treated my mom's illness, because all I can do is check on him and wish him love and care and pray for him. And I can't control his treatment, you know, like researching and writing down the treatment they're giving him and talking to his doctors and all of that. That's not my business. And I'm really grateful that his treatment is over as of now. But OA is what is really getting me through this hard time with COVID and with everything. And it has brought me so much joy in terms of having service opportunities, connecting with people at meetings, having people to call. I was even thinking when I was walking my dog, because I've been having moments of kind of like panic during this COVID, as I'm sure other people have. And I thought, like, what if I get really, really sick? And then my sister gets really, really sick, and my dog walker doesn't want to take my dog, you know, like bringing everything to the nth degree. And then I thought, like, hey, I know a million people in OA who like dogs. Like, I'm sure there'd be someone who wasn't sick at the same time who could probably take care of Mason. And before program, I think everything felt like the end of the world to me. It's funny when I think back about it, but like driving to my first, it wasn't an OA meeting. It was a different fellowship that I heard about first. But driving to that meeting, I went to a place and the church was closed and I couldn't find parking. And I almost had like a nervous breakdown. Like, things used to set me off where everything felt like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Like, you know, the worst things always happen to me. And now, I don't know, I just don't have that experience anymore. And I have stronger relationships with my family. I've made amends to almost all of them, and to other people, past jobs, and that has just only made things stronger. Got really nice responses from that, and especially bonded with my dad. I think talking about amends and having him also be in a 12-step program, so that was a really cool experience. And I'm just seeing if there's anything else I wanted to mention. Yeah, I think also, like I was saying, situations that used to like drive me crazy, or situations that used to baffle me. I used to have a lot of anxiety, and I just am able to prioritize more. Like, even just with looking at the Serenity Prayer, what is actually a big deal, or what needs to be taken care of? What's a crisis, and what can wait? And a lot of that has come just from listening to fellows. One thing, I was taking a trip back to Connecticut a long time ago, early in my recovery, and I had a whole bunch of people I had made plans with to visit. Like, I have to meet this friend and see this person's baby and see my brother who's mentally ill and all these different things. And my sponsor said, like, what would happen if you just flew to Connecticut and got to your dad's house and just never left? And then just stayed there the whole time and then came home. And she was like, would the world end? And I was like, no, you know, I realized like everything will be fine, no matter, you know, if I don't get to all these appointments and visits, if I don't do all these things, like, I'm still going to be fine and life is going to move on. So that was a big change for me. It, like, learning how to deal with things and not future plan all the time and future trip and get really crazy about stuff. And just a couple other things. There's been a lot of like amazing things that have happened to me while I've been in OA. There's that phrase, like, is it odd or is it God? And there was a day where I was just walking my dog down the street, and then somebody was driving by slowly, and it turned out it was a fellow who, like, right at that moment, we hadn't seen each other in a while. And that person like pulled their window down and we connected, and that was a really nice moment. There's so many little things that happen that feel kind of magical. And another one that happened like a week ago, I was on an OA meeting and there was a fellow on there who looked really familiar. It turns out that we haven't seen each other in 20 years, but we went on a trip as teenagers together, where we were in the British Virgin Islands, far away, and we haven't seen each other, but we both, you know, reconnected and recognized each other. So there's so many magical things that happen through program. And yeah, OA has also given me just a lot of self-confidence, in the sense that, you know, if I'm praying to have my defects removed and I'm coming and I'm doing the work, I feel like I'm a good person, or I'm trying to be the best version of myself I can be. And that's all I can do. You know, even if I make mistakes, which is a huge crisis for me because I hate to make mistakes and I like to be perfect. You know, I've made mistakes in OA, and I've faced up to them. I've made amends to people, and that shows me that I am not the worst person in the world. Like, that I'm just another fellow. You know, I'm no better or worse than anyone else, and I just am continuing to do my part and do the best that I can. And that's like all I really can do. And then I'm almost done. I'm just looking at the time. One of the last things I'll say is that in terms of connecting with a higher power, one thing that was recommended to me was having a God box. And so I do have a little box where I turn things over and I write a little note and I say, like, you know, I'm worried about my dad. Please take care of him. Bring him peace while he's going through treatment or whatever it is. And of course, now I've put COVID in there. And months later, I go back and I check it and I see that everything has been taken care of. The things I was worrying about, like when I was looking for a job, when I didn't know if I should renew my rent, all kinds of things. So that's just shown me that, you know, there's something out there taking care of me. And I really am grateful for OA for this whole experience. So in May, it'll be about 3 years of me coming to OA. And in August, it'll be my 3-year birthday for abstinence. But this has really changed my whole life. And so I'm really, really grateful for all my fellows for OA as a whole. And I think that's really it. Thank you.